You've likely heard of the Westboro Baptist Church. Perhaps you've seen their pickets on the news, the members holding signs with offensive messages protesting at events such as the funerals of soldiers or the 9-year-old victim of the recent Tucson shooting and Elizabeth Edwards, all in front of their grieving families. The Westboro Baptist Church is anti-gay, anti-Semitic, and anti-practically everything. They aren't going anywhere. In March, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of the church's right to picket funerals. Lauren Drain was thrust into the church at the age of 15 and then came out again at 7 years later. Her book is Banished, which is a look inside of the organization, and she joins us this morning. Lauren Drain, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Yes, thanks for having me.
The name of the book is Banished, a Memoir Surviving My Years in the Westboro Baptist Church. As I mentioned, 15 years old, what brought you into the church in the first place?
My dad brought my whole family there, actually, from Florida.
And you moved to Kansas to be a part of that church?
Yes, that's why my dad brought us there.
Now, what was the lure for him? For your dad.
What was the war?
Yes. What was the war? What brought you, what was it about the church that interested him that would have him pack up his entire family and move from Florida to Kansas?
I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask him, but I have some suspicion that, you know, some of the control had to do with it. I mean, they're a very, very controlling group. They're controlling of their children, how they're raised, what they believe. You know, they don't have a lot of outside influences. They don't get to do a lot of things on their own. There's not a lot of freedom when you're a child inside the church.
So you have no idea what it is about the church that your father was interested in?
No, I knew that he, he said he believed what they were saying. You know, he said he believed that they had the right things to say. But I think that ultimately the control is kind of what drew him there more than anything else.
The control on whose part, in the sense of on the church's part over the parishioners, over the followers, if you will?
Absolutely. Over what their thoughts are, what their beliefs are, what they do, what they, picket. There's a lot of control over the children, and so there's control over me, what I would do and say. So I don't know. My dad pulled me out of school when I was in high school. I had a guy interested in me. He pulled me out of school and said, you're not allowed to be in school anymore. You're not allowed to have outside friends. You know, I'd rather you make friends with people in the church. We're going to join this church. So he had a lot of controlling tendencies. So I definitely see that as a big factor.
When you were banished from the church, I mean, how much of your family is still a part of the organization?
My immediate family, my mother, father, my sister, both sisters and my brother.
Are still a part of the church.
Yes.
And how difficult is that for you to navigate that of having been, as the title would indicate, banished from the church and you realizing, obviously having to, I would think, want to have some relationship with them?
Yeah, I mean, it's a struggle for sure. You know, I was immediately cut off from my family. And I haven't had any little to no contact with them since I've left. I've tried contacting a couple times, but mostly I get shut down. And it's hard. It's a struggle. It was a huge traumatic situation to me when I first left. You know, I've kind of tried to build my own life since then, but there's not much I can do in terms of contacting them directly. So it's partly one of the reasons I wrote my book in the first place. Was to show them that there's a different perspective on things, and there's also hope and happiness, life and forgiveness outside the church. So maybe it can help them see that, you know, that's not the only way to live.
When you think about, and I asked about your family and what was the motivation to join this particular church? What was their level of your religious upbringing prior to that? In the 15 years prior, what was your religious affiliation?
We didn't really have one specifically. I know my mother was raised Catholic, and she would go to church on holidays and such, but wasn't super religious. My father was always searching for religion, it seemed like, searching for some form of truth. He went from, like, being completely atheist to, like, studying religion in college, studying psychology. It seemed like he was always searching for some form of, like, truth or what was right. So he seemed vulnerable to a certain ideology, I guess you could say.
So were there the tendencies of, is it safe to say that the message of the church, which was anti-gay or anti-Semitic, was that something that attracted your father and your family?
I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask him. I know that he thought that they were biblically based, and when we first joined, there were a lot less extreme things that they would say, but they definitely have always been an anti-gay church, so I don't know if that's what attracted him originally. I guess you'd have to ask him.
Well, yes. I mean, I would think, so you keep saying that, but I think it's interesting that you don't, you know, you wouldn't know that as far as, I mean, you in your growing up with him, you didn't get a sense that he was anti-gay or anti-Semitic?
No, I did not. He actually had gay friends before the church, actually.
Okay. So then once you get involved in the church, you're 15. So you're young, but you're also starting to you're starting to realize what the world's all about. So is this immediate culture shock for you?
Absolutely. You know, I've been raised completely relatively normal, I guess you'd say. And, you know, the typical things that teenagers, you know, want to do, hang out with their friends, maybe go to dances, you know, typical stuff. And now I'm being shut out from any kind of outside influence. I'm being told, you know, there is no dating, a lot of things that teenagers typically want to do. You know, some of them want to spend their own money, get hobbies, you know, spend time with their friends. All these things I'm told are no longer good. And, in fact, outside influence is evil. It was a huge culture shock for me, actually.
Give us a sense of where you were living and what your relationship was with the rest of the church community.
When we joined the church, there was a small house on what they call the block, which is like where a bunch of communal houses are like joined together with a common backyard. And it's right on the block of the church. They had a house, I guess, they let us rent out for a year. So I was living right in and amongst all the members when we first got there.
And is it designed that way for, as you mentioned before, to bring about control?
I think it definitely facilitates it, yes. I mean, they highly encourage members to live as close to the church as possible. They like all the kids to only associate with those other kids, you know, so they're all being taught the same things, and they're not going to go to, like, a public daycare. They'll be raised to believe the things the church wants them to believe and only be raised with other kids that are brought up in that environment. So I think it definitely facilitates control. They'll say no, but it definitely facilitates control.
When I think most of us who know about the Westboro Baptist Church know about the message that many of us, I think most of us, view as a rather hateful message, and we see this through their protests. When you look at the inner workings of the church, is that a strong part of it? Is that a guiding force, or is that but one facet of a much larger organization?
They are definitely hateful, 100% hateful, very judgmental. I mean, you will even see, yes, in the inner workings of the church, they teach you to judge each other for the smallest things. Everything is an ulterior motive. Everything is a form of sin or sinful thought. And you'll see when I talk about Unbanished, I'm basically explaining my when I'm being brought up there, I was judging people for the most random things, and I was taught that was the right thing to do, is to judge them, because then you're warning them of their sin and all this stuff that they teach you. But I made a lot of misjudgments. I made a lot of errors in my thoughts, and it took a long time after leaving to kind of deprogram myself from that kind of line of thinking. But I 100% agree that they're judgmental of each other as well as outside the church. But the other thing that's bizarre and baffling is that they are hypocritical. Sometimes they'll, you know, attach a form of punishment or judgment, and other times they'll completely overlook things that the members do on the inside. So it's very, very kind of hypocritical.
In talking about the hypocritical, you write in the book that members of Pastor Fred Phelps' family were treated differently than the other church members.
Yeah, I mean, that was my perspective, because I saw some so-called, what they would call like a sin, get completely overlooked or otherwise forgiven right away. Like, they weren't kicked out in terms of membership. You know, their status or what they had to say on things was much more held more highly than other members. Other members would be cast out for certain random things that they wouldn't hold everyone else to that same standard. So I definitely saw some, like, well, that's not fair. Why would you say this person's doing this, but this other person gets to stay, and they have a child outside of wedlock, or all these other things that they would pretend, they would definitely judge someone on the outside for, but they don't judge themselves for it.
You were there for 7 years, 15 to 22. Some would argue, I think most would agree, that in a child's development, certainly the most rebellious of years. So add to that a very strict environment, and it seems like a natural recipe for disaster. But as you point out in the book, that some of the reason that some of the reasons that brought your father to the church in the first place was his concern about you and wanting to, I guess for want of a better term, to kind of keep you in line.
Yeah, I guess that's definitely a factor. You know, I was a teenager, so like I said, I wanted to, you know, hang out with friends, but which included boys and girls. And my father immediately showed his disdain for guys and me and like that whole thing. So I think when he showed me that not only was I not allowed to interact with guys, but that I couldn't interact with my friends, you know, that was a big thing for me. And I definitely was rebellious in the beginning, and I definitely kind of fought it in the beginning. It wasn't until he started kind of manipulating my thinking into being like, well, I'm just trying to make you a good Christian girl. I'm just trying to make you, you know, someone who he could be proud of. Once he manipulated me into that line of thinking, you know, I think I was like, all right, you know, I do need to be a good Christian. I do need to be a good daughter that a father could be proud of. And that's kind of how he manipulated me into things.
How much do you think this is a story about your father and your relationship with him and about the church itself? In the sense of, is he getting most of his, is this relationship that he had with you coming from a background of the church, or is it coming from his own personal thoughts? I mean, can you blame the church for how he was treating you?
No, I can't blame the church 100% for how he's treating me, but I can definitely attribute some of his characteristics to how they encourage. They encourage certain behaviors. They encouraged him to cut me off. They encourage no contact. They encourage no forgiveness. So I can blame the church for what they did and what they continue to do to others. And they hold my siblings hostage there in that kind of form of thinking and doing those horrible things. So they don't have a chance to be a good person until, what, age 19, 20?
Mm.
That's not fair. I think it's unfair. But I'd like to thank you for having me on your show. I actually have I have a couple more shows I have to do today, and I'd really hate to cut you off, but...
No, that's fine. We're more than willing and ready to go. Warren Drain's new book is Banished. The book is published by Grand Central. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.